Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is January 12th, 2017, and this is GameBuoy.org video game podcast, episode 129, hashtag Switchmas. And also with us tonight is Captain Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio. Rob, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Orange Lounge Radio and about yourself?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Good to be back on the show. I'm Rob Roberts, at Sky on Twitter, S-K-I-E. I host a little show called Orange Lounge Radio. We believe it's the world's longest running internet show about video games. The internet's a big place, though. Celebrating 15 years this June, if you can believe it. And airs live every Sunday night for about 3 hours at 6 o'clock. You thought this show was long. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock sure. Eastern. Live Sunday nights at VogNetwork.com. VogNetwork.com. And yeah, I'm just really happy to be here with my pals Spike and Slykick.
Well, thank
can
you
I
so
say
much,
something? Dude. Can I say something really quick?
Well, you're going to say whether I want to or
how
not.
How is Rob higher ranking on the SS Buoy than me? How did he get to be captain?
Because he leads the longest running video game podcast on the internet. Weren't you listening?
Oh, so he's one of those crusty captains. Got it.
I invaded. This is a mutiny. Arr.
All right. Well, welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Tonight, on this very special episode, we are actually Skyping together. You know, we normally record in person, but we are here on Skype tonight to talk about the Nintendo Switch presentation that happened tonight. And we are just going to dig right in. This is going to be a short episode tonight for us. And we will be right back at you this upcoming weekend with a follow-up episode. So please look forward to it. And until then, let's talk a little bit about the console itself. The first big reveal that we got tonight was confirmation that the Nintendo Switch will be releasing worldwide on March 3rd, 2017. What did you guys think of that?
I was surprised. I thought it was, I had it pegged for the 17th, so...
Yeah, I think we all did.
That was one of the first things that they said right out of the gate, and I was like, wow. I mean, the sooner the better, honestly. I'm super excited.
And what about you, Rob? What did you think?
Yeah, I think it was a pleasant surprise. Good way to kick off the mood. And kind of give a positive thing right at the very beginning, because the early leaks had all said March 17th. And I think usually when you give that nebulous month and year release, you just assume it's going to be the end of the month. But, I think Nintendo couldn't do the very, very end of the month, because this is obviously supposed to be a thing to, bump up their end of the year financials a little bit. So they're going to have a whole month to do that. So cool. Pleasant surprise.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, the second big piece of information we got, of course, is that the retail price of this at launch is going to be $300. And starting with you, Rob, I'd like to know, what did you think about that compared to your expectations going in?
Well, I try very hard not to have expectations, although sometimes it's impossible in this social media day and age we live in. I would say $300 was about the highest I wanted to see it go. The only thing that makes me nervous about that price is it puts it in the exact same ballpark as a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, who could make some interesting counter moves. I especially would peg Microsoft to do something out of desperation, such as bundle in a crap load of games with Xbox One over the summer, possibly for an E3 thing to try and gain a little ground, which would, make it look very attractive. But, Nintendo obviously has its loyal fan base, and I think there's a lot of people that are still going to have no problem paying that $300. And honestly, I'm one of them. And I think the fact that we are looking at something that is a handheld as well as something that, you put on the TV is huge, and is something that you're not going to find on the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One, which is, certainly justifies the cost. It's going to be kind of a pricier technology, and there is a lot that we're talking about here between the two controllers, which are way more... I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, so I apologize, but that does play into cost. Those two controllers are way more, there's way more to them than you would have thought originally, and the dock and everything else, the price makes sense. It's just, it is going to be sitting on a shelf next to Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and so I kind of hope Nintendo backs away a little bit from emphasizing it's a console, it's meant to be a console experience, and I think they really should embrace more the fact that, well, it's a handheld experience too, and kind of sell the fact that it is one big ecosystem. And they did that a little bit, but I think they just need to drop. And you guys know I kind of felt this way anyway. Just admit the 3DS is done. Pokemon Sun and Moon was a great swan song. Nothing wrong with that. Let's focus on Switch now.
Slaggy, what about you? How did you feel about the price going into this? I know that this was a little more expensive than you were expecting. Are you experiencing any sticker shock?
You know, I've had time for it to settle in now that it's been a while since the, you know, presentation at 8 o'clock. You know, they pretty much went right out of the gate. So it's been about 2 hours now that I've had time to sit with this price. And, you know, I think I'm really just going to echo what Rob said without, you know, repeating him. So it is a little more than I had planned, but especially since I really do also view this as a successor to the Wii U and the 3DS. You know, even if the 3DS does still have a little bit of life left in it, I mean, I really get the feeling that if this does do well, then, you know, we're going to see it, like Rob said, be just the main Nintendo console. So knowing that, I'm not going to have to shell out for a 4DS or, you know, whatever you might call it eventually, that I mean, if the price seems right, like I said, a little bit more than I expected, but $249 almost would have been too much of a steal. So I mean, yeah, it's not a price I'm unwilling to pay.
Yeah, then that's actually very similar to how I feel. And I wanted to say, Rob, you know, I actually, due to a technical issue, my comment didn't come through, but I actually think that your remarks were very insightful. I strongly agree with a lot of what you say. And, you know, like you said, Pokemon, great swan song, but let's just own up to the fact that this is all one ship now.
Yeah, agree. And I think the one other comment I would make about the price and how it feels a little high, I was really surprised that 1-2 Switch was not the Wii Sports of this system, and they're going, I mean, this is the first console in a while where there's not a launch title, or I mean, excuse me, not a launch, you know what I mean, like a pack-in.
Like a pack-in, yeah.
Although Wii U kind of had the two different SKUs, but, you know, I think most people opted into the Deluxe in that case. So that feels a little weird, too. I was just really surprised that 1-2 Switch was not going to be thrown in for free.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah,
I was very excited about that myself.
I personally almost don't mind because, you know, 1-2 Switch, as we'll, you know, talk about more when we dig into the games, is meant to really be a party game. So the fact that the only time that I'm going to be playing it is probably over at the SS Game Buoy or up at the OLR Studios or whatever means I could just bring my Joy-Cons or whatever. And it's not something I'm going to be sitting here playing alone in my apartment. So in some respects, I guess it's good. Although, I mean, if it was a freebie, you know, that would have been a thing.
Not that there's anything wrong with that if you want to play with it alone in your apartment, Slidekick. It's okay. It's okay.
Gross.
I'm sorry. I'm just cackling at that right now. You read him better than I do.
You're a pervert, Rob.
I'll never get invited on this show again, so I have to get it all out while I can.
Well, so another thing that we heard about was that screen. And, you know, we had previously heard, you know, it was a 6.2-inch screen with a 720p resolution. That was confirmed. But one of the other rumors that was also confirmed is that it is a touch screen on the Nintendo Switch itself. But interestingly, it's a capacitive. I always struggle with that word. Thank you. Which is, you know, your finger touch with multi-touch, very similar to the technology that you see on most cell phones these days. I know a lot of people are going to be really excited about that. Briefly, what do you guys think? John or Slaggy, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a point where we weren't sure if this was going to have touch at all. I am glad that they're not completely abandoning the, you know, kind of touch technology and stuff and like the innovations that they've made gameplay wise with the DS and the 3DS, you know, that those have both been iconic consoles or well, handhelds. So I also think, you know, capacitive touch, I think it's a little bit better, obviously, you know, having use touch devices now for quite a while. So I think it's just going to make, you know, the things that we're used to them doing with the DS, you know, even better. And I'm excited for things like I really want to see Crossbeats Rev port come to this. I'd love to see a Theater Rhythm port. I mean, just there's like so much that is possible with this. I mean, another Elite Beat Agent.
Yeah, I was going to say, or their dad, Elite Beat Agents, could come back.
Right. Well, why not all of the above? But what about you, Rob?
Something. Oh, sorry. Can I just say one more thing?
One thing.
Well, it's just that their pitch for the Switch was that it's all of the things that Nintendo has done, like kind of embroiled into one. And I mean, I think that's great that, you know, there are the potential for, there's the potential for, you know, touch screen gaming, but that's not its only gimmick, you know, and like there's the motion control Joy-Cons and stuff, but that's not the only gimmick, so that they're showing off, you know, that it can do all of these things. It's not just one thing.
Yeah, although the poor GameCube, all they took from that was a handle, apparently.
They could have taken...
What do you...
I was just going to say, they could have taken F-Zero as well. That would have been nice, but since I think you're about to toss it to me, let me just say, I am thrilled that there will be no more lost styluses. Yay! No more lost styluses ever. Hooray! Now we're up to a normal touchscreen like everybody else. So that part's exciting. Like alluded to, I would love to see this used for music gaming or other types of games. But the one thing I'm curious about with the specs is that, yes, we know there's a 720p display on the little handheld itself, but does the dock give it any more oomph, or are we locked into 720p when we put it on the television as well? We don't have an answer on that yet, right?
You know, I haven't seen one, but something very interesting about this presentation, and we'll be following up on this this weekend, is that there was a lot that went unsaid at the presentation that we are finding out now through the official press releases and what have you.
So by the time folks are listening to this, Treehouse is probably going, and maybe they've talked about this a little bit, if there is going to be any oomph. But I would be a little surprised if they don't go to 1080p on the TVs, because doesn't the Wii U do that? So that would almost seem like a step back.
Some of the marquee titles for the Wii U, stuff like Smash Brothers, that's running at 1080p locked at 60 frames a second.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. I mean, I would be very surprised if it's going to be locked to 720 on the console. Then that kind of says to me, this is not a console, this is a handheld that's being put on your TV, like I kind of figured this was from the beginning, which I'm okay with that, don't get me wrong, but it's just, it would be a little weird if that's a step backward. But you know, to be fair, a lot of HD experiences are 720, a lot of Twitch feeds go to 720 and so forth. Will it be the end of the world? No. Will it be a little hard to compete in the PlayStation 4, Xbox One power universe? Yes, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. In the end, a great game is a great game.
You know, all of the rumors that, such as Eurogamer, who was, you know, was really reliable when it came to a lot of the rumors and speculation, pointed to the idea of games being able to run 1080p docked, that it's kind of up to developers. We didn't get any confirmation about the really heavy nuts and bolts, you know, about that Tegra processor, like exactly what it can do, or, you know, the clock speeds or whatsoever. You know, I'm not the super techiest guy, but you know, all signs as far as the rumors went point to it, and you know, a lot of what we had heard rumored was confirmed today, so I would be inclined to think that it is going to be for, you know, at least, you know, the titles that really want to push that performance, be able to have that capability.
Absolutely. So I want to move this discussion forward. I want to talk about a couple of quick things that were not in the presentation.
Would you say you want to switch the topic?
Yeah, you better snap them fingers, Captain Spike, when you're taking this boat in a new direction.
Oh, I'm going to snap my fingers at both of you if you don't fall into line.
Yes, sir.
You've podcasted with both of us for like years at this point, and you're surprised at this, like, really, Queen? Really, Queen?
So the console itself has been confirmed to have 32 gigs of internal storage, but it will be expandable via a micro SDXC card slot. This is, of course, the same technology that the new 3DS uses. And the really cool thing about that is that the microSDXC format actually tops out at 2 terabytes of storage.
Wow.
You don't typically find on the consumer market cards in that size. But a quick browse of Amazon shows that 128 gig cards are like $30. So I think when you look at it and think of it as like a handheld device, that's actually going to be really nice. I think that it'll hold, you know, a good number of games. I'm actually really optimistic about that. What do you guys think about that piece of knowledge? I'll start with Rob.
I love that I was on Amazon.com at the same time you were, to be like, how much are these things these days anyway? And I'm like, ooh, 64 gigs for $16. That seems like quite a deal. 32 gigs seems very constricting for a console that you think would be more online and pushing download games online. However, the micro SD XC thing really kind of saves it. So this is, I almost, like, I feel like this could be a throwback to a day because y'all know I grew up on the Commodore 64 because I'm old. This is going to be a throwback to the day when you have like your one disc that has these games on it. Then you have this disc that has these games on it.
Mm-hmm.
Lodestar, 8, 1, that, you know, on whatever chip has Minecraft on it or whatever it is I want to play. So I think the micro SDXC expansion saves what could have been very disappointing news otherwise.
I completely agree with that. Well, what about you, Slaggy?
And I mean, what I remember, I think, was it Laura Kate Dale who was talking about the idea of, was it her or Emily who was talking about the idea that the cartridges, you know, wouldn't have like crazy load times. And I guess you probably wouldn't need to like install, you know, like you do with half of these disc titles for like PS4 and everything. Like that, I mean, I don't remember if it was one of them who talked about it, but that would be correct, right? That with the games being cartridge-based rather, instead of disc-based, there's not going to be like installing stuff to the card for like faster load times and stuff.
That is expected to be the case. We can't strictly say that yet.
Right, right. You know, as someone who likes to own physical games, you know, I mean, I guess I'm not anti-digital download by any means if you, you know, listen to the show, but I like having my game boxes and game carts and stuff, you know. That's just, you know, having grown up with the NES, you know, that's just kind of, for me, I like physical game media, so.
Well, a lot of indie stuff will likely only be download only, and let's hope that Nintendo's going to embrace the indie thing. They didn't really talk about it today a lot, mm-hmm. besides a few screenshots of Minecraft, which really isn't indie anymore, let's be real. So hopefully during Treehouse, we're going to hear more about that, but, you know, you're going to want to have some storage space for the indie stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'll pick up a 128 gig at the very least, you know, but you know, I'm not too concerned at, you know, just right now having, you know, just kind of not having it yet and not knowing like how many things are going to be downloadable and how much space it's going to take up. I mean, for me, the fact that these micro SD, XC, whatever they're called, are reasonable price, like, you know, $16 for a 64 gig, $40 for a 128, just makes me think, man, remember the Vita memory cards and how ridiculous that was? It was like $100 for a 128 or something.
Well, how nice.
Which I never even.
How nice that, like, Nintendo isn't going proprietary for everything.
Yeah, like, you know, I never even bothered with the Vita cards because, like, they never price dropped and it was just ridiculous. So at least this is something
64
that...
64 gigs, almost $100.
Yeah, at least this is something that's super reasonable, you know, and, you know, like, I mean, the only minor inconvenience, like you were saying, Rob, is like, oh, what game is on which SD, micro SD card?
That's why you can color code them. And also, can I say that I love that we're having this conversation with Nintendo right now in terms of gigabytes, and we have yet to use the word blocks. Let's keep it that way. Thanks.
Agreed. Well, and from there, I want to pick up and wrap up the part of the conversation where we talk about the console itself. We finally also got word about the battery life. The battery life is going to last for, they're sort of throwing out the 6-hour number as the general, while also acknowledging that based on what kind of software you're using and the usage conditions, games could end up draining the battery in roughly 3 hours. And they specifically call out Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild in that 3-hour charge number. The one piece of really good news I feel we have is that the Nintendo Switch is confirmed to use a USB Type-C connector. If you're someone like me, you're going to be gaming on the go a lot with this thing. If you already have like a portable USB charger, you'll just be able to connect it to that for a quick recharge. And, you know, the Type-C USB does support the fast charge technology that most of these portable chargers use. With that in mind, what do you guys think about this? For me personally, battery life, okay, it could be better, but knowing that it supports USB, it's a standard format, there are workarounds using these portable chargers, I'm less bothered. And we started with Rob last time, so let's start with Slykick this time.
You know, I'm the type of person who honestly, you know, what, like, the places that I tend to play, for example, my 3DS is usually near a charger. So, like, and the amount of time that, unless I'm on like a long road trip, that I would be playing on the go without any sort of USB sort of plug-in would be not that long. So for me, it's not really too much of a concern. I know people are like, oh, 3 hours, and, like, you know, basically acting like it was the Sega Nomad or something. But that, and the fact, like you said, that you can just get a USB charger these days, And I mean, I assume that it would work with like a USB cigarette lighter charger. I guess they're not even called cigarette lighters anymore, but you know, a car charger. So, I mean, it seems like mostly a non-issue to me, like, because like I said, for me, for the most part, I play in places that would have access to a charger anyway, so.
Excellent, excellent. That totally tracks. And what about you, Rob?
For me, I'm just mostly, yay, they didn't go proprietary with it. Yay, they're actually including a charger with this one. So there's a lot of good news here.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that it's a USB charger, does this mean that I could use my PlayStation 4 to charge my Nintendo Switch? Because I kind of like the idea of making those two kiss.
I love the way you put that. All right, well, let's talk then about something else that was touched on briefly in the presentation and then followed up on sort of online after the fact, and that is the online component. It was mentioned briefly in the presentation that while there will be a free trial of their online service through fall of 2017, they are going to be making the jump to a paid online service. You know, they do specifically talk about the fact that things that are going to come with this paid online service once it launches are, you know, online gameplay, online lobbies and voice chats via an app. They're going to be monthly game downloads of old NES and SNES games that will have newly added online play to them. There will be exclusive deals. It sort of sounds roughly analogous to sort of what we see on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. What do you guys think about this switchover? No pun intended.
Oh, you intended that.
Yeah, all you needed was a snap. The interesting choice of words, voice chat app, does this mean that the Switch runs apps in the background? Kind of like maybe what PlayStation 4 Party Mode does? I'm kind of curious what that looks like, and I imagine this is something we're going to see during the really long Treehouse presentation. So by the time most of you hear this, we're going to have the answers to this question. I suppose this isn't too surprising for Nintendo, although I'm sure there's going to be a lot of folks that are disappointed. We didn't hear how much it costs, though, you know. Is this going to be a $60 a year thing? Is this going to be a $20 a year thing? I'm very curious about some of those details. But can I talk about the monthly game download part that was on this here?
Because as long as you're not going to talk about wanting to play Ice Climbers Online.
Well, A, yes, we're going to play Ice Climbers Online. B, can I just tell you how excited I am about...
I'm going to gouge you out with an ice pick.
Be quiet. Online. There's this part in this passage in that thing about the Nintendo Online that says monthly game download. Subscribers will get to download and play a Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, or Super Nintendo Entertainment System, SNES, game with newly added online play for free for a month. Can I just give that a hearty yes? Because
you are on the right show for that. Yes, you can.
Because this is something I have been begging and pleading for since the day of the Wii. Like, this is so obvious. The Virtual Console needs this. This is the thing that can be done now that couldn't be done in the 80s, is that we can have the living room across an ocean and play these games online. So I'm just, oh my gosh, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that, I mean, again, I want to hear details. I want to see the receipts. But the fact that we're going this direction where finally we could play, like, you, me, Slykick, and whoever else could play Bomberman Online, like classic style, and who knows what other like classic Nintendo games. That's super exciting. I'm just and that alone is worth the cost to me, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree. And you, Slaggy?
I mean, they didn't show a lot of the UI, period. I mean, they showed a little snippet of like just the what's presumably what the UI is going to look like for the Switch, and I mean that looked nice and sleek, but we kind of know, or we kind of really don't know otherwise, what the service is going to look like. I'm going to be optimistic that, you know, every time they've done online, they've tried to improve it. I mean, I feel like with Wii U, they did better than they've done it ever before. So, I mean, if they bring it up to the level of like an Xbox Live or a PlayStation Plus in terms of like what it's capable of and like how smooth it is, I mean, I would be more inclined to pay for a Nintendo Online or whatever they call it, Nintendo Network Plus or whatever, than Xbox Live Gold, you know, just because I play Nintendo so much. I'm a little confused by the wording, and I know I'm not the only one. They say that you get to play the classic games with newly added online play for free for a month. Does that mean after the month's up that, you know, Super Mario Brothers 3 is no longer free and now it's Ice Climbers or whatever?
You know, I assume that's a translation sort of sloppiness, or that they're referencing to the part where that sentence starts with "we'll get to download." So I think that will be clarified, but I think it's more likely to be a similar model to the PS Plus model.
PS Plus, right.
But we can't feign surprise. We can't feign surprise if it is. You only get like a month
rental.
That's
true.
Could be.
And, you know, it might even be intentional. Maybe Nintendo is sort of trying to read the reaction to see which way they could go. It wouldn't be the first time Nintendo has operated that way.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the fact that you can still do friends lists, hopefully without codes, in the social media and the eShop stuff without it, you know, I mean, that's good. But I mean, I'm more likely than not to want to do this.
Okay. Well,
so, I mean, like I said, I'm optimistic, but, you know, there's not really a lot to gauge it on aside from what they've said so far.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to move on from talking about online, but I do want to sort of mention a couple of other networking tidbits. Per Nintendo's website, this wasn't really discussed too much at the actual presentation, but there will not be on the Nintendo Switch dock a LAN port. You will have to, if you really want a LAN wired connection, you'll have to use
like
it.
You do.
I do. I prefer to go wired. I think that, you know, it has less lag, and that's what I want when I'm gaming.
Yeah.
You will have to use the USB ports for a USB LAN adapter. And something that they did mention in the presentation that I was really excited about is that up to 8 systems can connect over a local wireless connection for compatible multiplayer games. And when you consider that each one of these screens can support, you know, 2 players, you could feasibly have a party with, you know, 16 people playing the same game together, potentially, you know, like the LAN mode in Mario Kart Double Dash. So I think that's really cool.
What a perfect time to introduce battle mode into Mario Kart, huh?
Dude, right? And which that's actually probably the most exciting thing about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but we'll get to that. I actually found this information on Nintendo's website while I was looking for clarification about the TV mode output that Rob had brought up, and they do on Nintendo's website talk about TV mode supporting up to 1080p. So,
oh, nice!
It does seem that we will have that 1080p support.
Awesome! Thank you for the clarification, Nintendo. Is Nintendo listening to this show? Is Nintendo watching us right now? Is the Switch aware? Is Nintendo watching what Slide Kick does in his apartment alone?
I mean, if they are, I'm kind of sorry. No one should have to see all that.
I feel like the little Nintendo Switch Snap is the new Alyssa Edwards tongue pop. Just saying. Not that the tongue pop will ever go away, but it's 2017. New year, new me.
New year, new we. No more we.
Yeah, oh man. Did you guys clock it when they were discussing the various display capabilities or play capabilities of the handheld unit? And they're talking about TV mode, tabletop mode, handheld mode. In the Japanese, they called handheld mode gamepad mode. And I noted that, like, they hard pivoted away from that in the English language. That felt to me like an intentional distancing from the Wii U branding of the gamepad.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Poor Wii U.
I'm sorry, what was that, Rob?
I was just saying, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I do the whole Japanese language thing, I always pay a lot of attention to, like, what they're saying in Japanese. And I really, that was a big difference between what they had said in the English language one. I was like, oh, girl.
Can you tell me what Suda51 really said? Because that translator, broke down crying or something.
Yeah, that was some nonsense. But I too am excited to return to the story of Travis Touchdown. So I'm super excited. That art was sexy. So I want to move forward, though. I want to talk about the Joy-Con. And this is, of course, we've talked about this here on the show, the name of the new controller for the Nintendo Switch. We will have, of course, with each Nintendo Switch, it will come with a Joy-Con L and a Joy-Con R. The two Joy-Con can be used independently in each hand. It's sort of in the style of like 2 Wii remotes. You can combine them together to form 1 game controller. They attach to the console for handheld mode. Of course, you can share them, one each for like a 2-player game. Something I thought was really cool was that there's actually like a little attachment that has a strappy bit on it that also adds shoulder buttons to it when you're playing in that mode. I thought that was a really neat touch.
Which comes bundled, right?
That is what they said. Each Joy-Con, especially with that attachment, will have, you know, a full set of buttons, connect as a standalone controller. They're all going to have accelerometers and gyro sensors. The left Joy-Con does does have a capture button to take instant screenshots and later on video to share with your friends on social media. The right Joy-Con has a NFC reader and writer for interaction with Amiibo. And it also has an IR motion camera that does a lot more than the IR motion camera on the old Wiimote. This now is progressed to the point that it can actually detect the distance, shape, and motion of nearby objects. And sort of the last big deal that they emphasized was that both Joy-Con also include what they're calling HD Rumble, which appears to be some sort of advanced haptic feedback system to provide a wide variety more vibration than you typically see in these little rumble motors. I think this is really exciting. You know, they'd use the example of like, you'll be able to feel this sensation of individual ice cubes being put into a glass that you're holding. I thought that that was just a really fascinating concept. Rob, overall, what do you think of the Joy-Con?
Well, I think there's certainly a lot more to it than we thought from some of these early announcements, especially, you know, the fact that they have like that whole camera sensor and everything. So it's going to be a lot of interesting toys to see what developers use it for. So again, it's really about what ends up being in the games with that whole thing. Interesting too is it sounds like they may have not fully developed some features yet, like the capture button you were talking about. It'll do screenshots and video at some point. We don't know if that's going to be Twitch, YouTube's like we had Mario Kart, maybe another, maybe hell, Nintendo could launch their own Twitch competitor, just like Microsoft recently bought Beam, and that could be very interesting. Who knows? So we don't know what direction that's going to go in. So, but I there's definitely a lot of technology in those little things. And how long before I lose one?
Oh, man.
Don't worry. They're only, what, $70 for to replace them?
If I want to get the blue ones as a pair, yes, it's going to be $70, which I opted into the gray system because everybody's going to have those blue and red ones. And we all know Nintendo. We all know Nintendo. New colors will happen eventually. So I'm just going to hold out for purple or green.
Princess Peach. Pink Cold Peach.
Something that I'm hoping for on that point is actually a feature that my Roku has, where if you touch the base of the Roku, it has like a little button that will make the remote start beeping at you. I hope the Switch controllers have something like that, because otherwise they're tiny. They will get lost.
I was going to say, what, the feature of your Roku where it stops working half the time?
Sidekick, you're wasting time on the air. Stop it.
Maybe there's something...
What was that, Rob?
I was just going to say, maybe there's something through an app, something that is not touched on here because it probably because coming up on Twitter and through social media as we're recording, but Nintendo Japan put out this video about parental controls, that there's actually going to be an app. So if your kid is playing the thing and won't get off, you fire up the app and hit the countdown timer of 5 minutes or whatever it is you want to do, and that's going to shut off the Switch. So very interesting. Nintendo is like this is how I wanted to see Nintendo do smartphone stuff, is really integrating with the system. And I think we heard that this was going to be a possibility when they first finally said, okay, we'll do smartphone. So maybe, Spike, we have a laugh, but maybe that is a potential that you could hit a button on your app and those things will beep, and then you'll, oh, the couch ate them, of course.
Yeah, I really hope so, man. I think that would be really cool, and it would alleviate your and my fear that, you know, these little guys are going to get lost. What about you, Saigi? What do you think?
I didn't expect to be so excited about the Joy-Cons as I was when they were showing off all that they could do, and like, they honestly did bring me joy, like, to see what all the things that they could do. I think, like, what we talked about with the capacitive touchscreen, the fact that this is not the only way for the system to work, you know, that they can attach to the main Switch unit, you know, so that it makes a, you know, controller or whatever, you know, the fact that they're, like, not just Wiimotes and make, like, waggle waggle, you know, I think that I think they were really smart in the way that they designed these to have those features there for developers who want to use them, but not be such the sole, you know, selling point for the Switch that third parties are just left in the dust and trying to work around, you know, crappy waggle implementation.
Yeah, you've always had this thing against motion controls. I love motion controls. I'm a huge fan, so I'm happy about it.
I've never had a thing about against motion controls. I have a thing against crappy third party Wii games that
Do you want to have a conversation about Skyward Sword?
Well, Skyward Sword is just my lack of skill. I mean, that's not...
I'll accept it and we can move on.
Do you want to have a conversation about Major Minor's Majestic March? Let's not. No, but yeah, anyway...
$1.50. Calm down, Beyonce.
One of the things that immediately popped into my head with the Joy-Cons was all the different things you'll be able to do for Mario Party. Like, I can't wait. I also like that the amiibos just go, boop, right onto the, like, what am I going to call them? The analog sticks. Like, how cool is that?
So it's actually like the little panel under the analog stick. It's not the analog stick itself, I don't think.
Well, yes, but you basically get to go like, boop.
So the second to last segment here of this discussion that I'd like to have, I want to talk about the games that they showed. And they showed a fair number of games. I was very excited about that, of course. But the thing I was most excited about is that they were primarily Japanese-developed titles. I want to go down the list first, and then we'll talk about sort of what we thought of them. We had a handful of like what appear to be first-party titles in 1-2 Switch. We had the surprise new announcement of ARMS. Of course, fan-favorite Splatoon 2. We had Super Mario Odyssey, which obviously I'm incredibly excited about. Xenoblade 2. Which I don't think anyone was expecting a new Xenoblade already. We had Fire Emblem Musou, which is, of course, something that I think we've all wanted for a long time. And then otherwise, you know, from third-party developers, we got stuff like Dragon Quest X and XI, Dragon Quest Heroes 1-2 Combo Pack, a new Shin Megami Tensei game. They did not specifically call it out as Shin Megami Tensei 5, but certainly that was, I think, the direction most of us took it. A new game from the Bravely Default folks called Octopath. Of course, we had Skyrim. We have a No More Heroes sequel, which is like mind-blowing. EA is bringing the FIFA series to the Switch. Of course, we got an extended look at Zelda, which was phenomenal. And then we had a crazy sizzle reel full of games that, you know, all of them could have actually stood to have had their own spotlight focuses. Stuff like Disgaea 5, Ultra Street Fighter 2, which is, again, like, what? Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Super Bomberman R, Puyo Puyo Tetris, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Rayman Legends Definitive, Steep. Before we talk about these things individually, I just want to ask you guys, what do you think of like the breadth of all of these titles? Rob, I want to start with you because I know that you're a little less of a Nintendo fanboy. I feel like I'll get it a little more real talk from you.
I think they did exactly what they needed to do. They really put a spotlight on what was Wii U's biggest weakness, and it was, you know, title after title after title after title. Now, granted, this was the same thing they attempted to do when they launched the Wii U, but what's exciting this time is that, you know, Skyrim aside, we're looking at new stuff, and I think that's great. You know, well, actually, not just Skyrim, because what, Dragon Quest X kind of exists, but still, you know, for the most part, we're seeing a lot of new announces. You know, we're seeing No More Heroes, we're seeing a new FIFA game, we're seeing a new, you know, Mario, and the new stuff from third parties and all that is important as well. So I like the direction that's going in. I think one place where people are kind of critical right now is, well, what's out March 3rd? Because right now it sounds like Zelda and nothing else. So I do think, especially when they cut to the regions, when they had the little piece from Reggie Fils-Aimé and, you know, his counterpart in Europe and so forth, I think that could have been a really great opportunity to say, here's a couple of games that'll be available on March 3rd, even if it's download only, because that's kind of showing a weakness. But my impression is that these are all games that are going to be spaced throughout the year or something like that. So we'll see. I don't know. Again, I don't know if you want me to mention this now, because I know we're going to talk about individual games, but I just have to call this out, because I think, honestly, the biggest weakness of the overall presentation, in my opinion, biggest weakness of the whole thing, is the fact that 1-2 Switch is not a pack-in game. And that's because it really seems like they're trying to do something different with 1-2 Switch. You know, it kind of threw me for a loop, like the whole, you know, it's not something where you just stare at a TV or even the monitor, like they really are trying to use the HD controls and all that. And I think those types of concept games that are built around a party, you know, that's what really sold Wii Sports. And people didn't buy a Wii. They bought Wii Sports that came with a console. And so, you know, I don't know if 1-2 Switch is at that level, maybe at least not from what we saw, but I think Nintendo ought to be pushing it as that, maybe. And I just think it was a missed opportunity to not include that, because, you know, now we're talking, this price is really $350 if you want to get 1-2 Switch, if that ends up being a successful party game. So anyway, I don't want to talk too much, but those are just kind of my initial thoughts.
And what about you, Slaggy? What do you think about the overall roster of games coming?
I mean, I'm glad to see so many games already that I want and especially a lot of really interesting, you know, things in development. Like Octopath looks like really cute and like retro-y, you know, like we love with Bravely Default and that sort of thing. You know, and just even like the little previews of knowing that we have Shin Megami Tensei on the way, No More Heroes is exciting. But I am a little bit, I would say I'm a little bit concerned about the launch lineup. But I mean, let's be real, unless there is a crazy buy to get to or whatever, like we saw with the Wii U, I typically don't buy a ton of games at launch just because, you know, I'm already dropping at this point 300 for the console itself. You know, I'm definitely already getting Zelda, and you know, so that may not be something that I'm personally concerned about, because, you know, like for me, just having Zelda for the first few weeks until Mario Kart 8 DX comes out, like, I mean, that for me is fine. But I mean, I could definitely see, when I say I'm concerned, I mean for Nintendo, like, because I saw a lot of people on Twitter, like right after the presentation, being like, really? Two launch games? And I mean, since then, we have seen confirmation on, you know, the websites and such that there are more titles coming at launch. But, you know, and like I said, I think that we're going to be seeing more announcements, not only tomorrow with the Treehouse stuff, but I mean, we already have a lot of third parties announcing stuff too. So I think as we get closer to launch, we're going to have more announcements coming. And I'm overall excited. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot more there that I want to play than I don't want to play. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about these games for a minute. If you don't have anything to say about a game, that's okay. You don't have to give me a little essay even on the ones you're not interested in. But, One, Two, Switch, you know, that's one I was really excited about. It's sort of the new Nintendo Land or Wii Sports. As Rob pointed out, I do think it's a failing that it's not a pack-in title, but I'm still really excited. You know, it sort of reminds me of that sports championship game for PlayStation Move where, you know, you were hardly even interacting with the PlayStation. It's sort of like that. I'm really interested in 1-2 Switch. What about you, Rob?
In the interest of time, I already said my piece.
Fair. Slaggy?
I think it looks fun, but again, not something that I will probably personally be picking up because, like I said, I would be mostly playing it at someone else's place, like yours. So
yeah, I think the price on that is actually going to be a big factor whether I pick it up immediately or not. I would love to like get it day one, but if it's $60, I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
Well, then let's move on to the next one. This was a surprise. I had described it during the event as like almost a Platinum Games take on Punch Out. This one is called Arms. It is a sort of almost like an arena first-person brawler using motion controls. It's like one-on-one against either a CPU bot or, you know, multiplayer. I'm excited for it, but I tend to like these kinds of games. Slaggy, what did you think?
I really thought it looked really, you know, whimsical in the same way that when they first revealed Splatoon. So for me, like just the overall look of it and the kind of the whimsy of it about, you know, I mean, and that's what I think it makes Nintendo Nintendo, you know. We have, I don't see that sort of game being put out by Microsoft, you know, like not to diss Microsoft, but I mean, like Splatoon put a whole new twist on the, you know, arena shooter or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, now this is putting a twist on fighting games and boxing games. And I'm really excited to play it. You know, it just, it looks really clever and cute. And I'm glad to see them playing around with this sort of thing. I think, you know, it's definitely, I feel like there was some inspiration from Splatoon and, you know, kind of how they just had a very stylized sort of look at a more traditional genre of game.
All right. And Rob?
I liked the fact that it was something that kind of sold the concept of the Switch. Like, here is something you can do with the Joy-Con that we as Nintendo couldn't do before and that our competitors can't do. So I kind of like it from that standpoint. I caught that this game was getting a lot of Twitter snark. I don't think this is for the hardcore gamer crowd. I think this is one to really be the party pitch game. And it's something a little different than just, you know, a board game translation or something else. So I kind of like it from that perspective. perspective. I think if they charge $60 for it, though, they're going to have to really talk me into that. Maybe at 40, or heck, I would love 20, but I'm not going to hold my breath. Love that they actually mentioned an online component. That's great. I'm all about the online. Thought it was curious, though, that they said something about, like, they said the words like in development or in the future, like almost like it wasn't going to be there at launch. Is kind of what I took away from it. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, I actually was hoping that that would be part of the same pack as 1-2 Switch. I think bundling all of these concepts together would make a compelling $60 purchase, but not all of them separately. And I'm sorry, you were saying, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they had said it was going to be spring, but I guess maybe that was one that they said, you know, they're still working on it.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're right there. Another one that they had mentioned that they were still working on, but they did indicate would be this summer, was Splatoon 2. And, you know, we were all expecting this one due to that original Switch tease. Still, I thought looked phenomenal. Rob, what do you think of Splatoon 2?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised that it's a full sequel, because my my thought was that it was just going to be an enhanced Splatoon Wii U, kind of like what we're getting with Mario Kart 8. So very pleasantly surprised it's a sequel. And it does seem like they are trying to do a few new things with it. I think the biggest selling point for this game is going to be that local network play, because the online in the original Splatoon was great, but my God, can you imagine? You're going to be able to have 8 people playing this all in one room. Like, the parties...
If they do split screen, you might be able to do 16.
Yeah, the parties at Spike's house are going to be off the hook, because all these nerds...
I'm going to be like, you squid bitch!
All these nerds are going to be bringing their Switches over, and can you imagine? Like, that's... In a way, I think that's almost the biggest selling point for Splatoon, is going to be just what this is going to do for the party game.
Well, dude, it's going to be the return of the LAN party. I know, I don't think I knew you back then, but I used to throw LAN parties all the time. And with the Switch era, that's going to come back.
In a way, I mean, technically it's not LAN, because it's all going to be over the Wi-Fi, but I get what you're saying.
A LAN party.
or as one of my friends used to call it, a local area Nintendo party, when you would all hook up your NESs on separate TVs and speed run games together.
Oh, I like that.
That's cute.
Slaggy, briefly, what did you think of Splatoon 2?
I'm psyched. I can't wait to play like the new maps and the new weapons and play in the same room. Yeah, I mean, that's mostly... I do have to say, when the translator was like, and this is going to launch in the summer, I was like, are you serious right now? And I get it. You know, that translator must have been under very high pressure, but like, it really sounded like he was saying it was going to launch with the console. I was like, oh, that's not the translation to use. But I mean, at least it's coming in the summer, you know, that there's, I mean, the fact that we've got, you know, just a couple months off from launch, new Splatoon, I'm super excited. I mean, this year one lineup is crazy when we look at the things that are coming this year.
And to sort of tie a comment you made and a comment that Robin made, you know, the heavy rumors are that Splatoon 2 did start life as an enhanced port, and that as the team were adding little things, they just started to add bigger things, and it sort of grew on its own. And watching it, I do sort of buy that explanation. So I'd like to move forward, talk a little bit about Super Mario Odyssey. We didn't see necessarily a whole lot of it, but what we did see to me looked tremendous. I love the idea of platforming and sort of real world locales. What did you guys think, Slaggy?
Oh my gosh. So like when they first showed it, like it said like Dixie Street and New Donk City. I was like, oh, this looks like a urban sort of Donkey Kong. And at first I was like, oh, is it like Diddy Kong Racing in like real world locales, like in the city? And then Mario popped out, and like basically by the end of that trailer, I was crying tears of joy. You know, we've been wondering for years what was going to come after Mario Galaxy. And, you know, even if it's not out of this world, so to speak, just the things that they showed look so much fun. I love the little hat that he looks like he's throwing as a projectile. And I mean, for me, and the fact that this is coming this holiday season, like so, a Zelda and a Mario in the same year, is like, what? Like, so as much as I was hoping that they were going to say it was launch title, I am so excited for this. It looks just completely joyful. And I'm hoping that we'll get a big spotlight on it at E3. That's the thing with these games that aren't out yet. E3 is going to be great with like this stuff that's still in development and stuff yet to be announced. Like, I'm really excited for Nintendo at E3 this year.
Excellent, excellent. And Rob?
This is going to sound super cheesy, but the number one thing I took away from that trailer is I just love the name. I love the name Super Mario Odyssey. Like, it just sets a bold new direction for where they want Mario to go. And especially with, you know, Mario Maker supposedly kind of being the swan song of the 2D Mario, like, this is such a bold new direction for the franchise. I love the name. Like, is that cheesy how much I love it? But I do.
No.
And the game itself, though, was a little bit sensory overload for me. Like, it was like, oh my god, all these visuals being thrown at me at once, and I don't know what to make of it all. So I'm excited to hear a little more details about how the heck does this all work together. But we got time. But like Slykick said, it's a little disappointing that it's holiday, but at the same time, Mario and Zelda in the same year. This is the stunt Nintendo's going to have to pull to move a lot of Switches. So I hope they make holiday. Please don't delay it.
Well, and something else, and it fits right in with that, you know, the games we've talked about so far are all slated for 2017. And so is the next one. According to Nintendo's website, worldwide, Xenoblade 2 is a 2017 title.
Wow.
And if these really are all year one, like, I kind of feel like this could be the best year one software lineup I've ever seen, which feels really weird to say coming off of the Wii U, let me tell you.
To be fair, Spike, it's a 9-month window for year one, where most consoles have a 3-month window for year one. This is we haven't seen a system launch in March in a incredibly long time. I mean, like, decades. So,
absolutely.
As far as, you know, what the first few months look like the game has changed for all that. It's not the same standard. It's kind of like Nintendo's going to make a smash with the initial launch, and then they're going to have to do it again with the holiday, you know? I guess the 3DS could be the next closest thing I could think of, which unfortunately didn't go so well for Nintendo, but they were able to salvage it, and I obviously 3DS launch and this launch, you know, what those look like are very different right now. But anyway.
Yeah, Xenoblade 2, and you know, this is where we start to get to where we saw less focus of the content of the game. So, you know, this conversation is going to wrap up a lot more quickly now. Xenoblade 2, new music. I did note in that trailer that Yasunori Mitsuda-san's name was prominently featured. I was very excited about that. Looks to be continuing the story from Xenoblade Chronicles rather than Xenoblade Chronicles X. I thought it looked gorgeous, and knowing that it's a 2017 game, and I do buy that because it actually looked a lot further along than I would have expected, I'm hype AF about this. Slaggy, what did you think?
I thought it looked really pretty, you know, so it'll be interesting to see if it is indeed a title that we get this year.
Excellent,
like,
excellent.
I mean, it'll just be interesting to see what it's taking, what elements it's taking from Xenoblade rather than Xenoblade X. Because, you know, again, we didn't really get much of a look other than the really pretty visuals and music and stuff. But I'm definitely excited to see more, you know, I'm so glad that Monolith Soft is with Nintendo right now. I mean, that was a great investment of theirs.
Excellent. And Rob?
I was sexually aroused the minute the Monolith Soft logo came up, so that's all I got to say.
PMI.
No, that's just the right amount of I. So... We also got the announcement, and I think, again, you know, I was somehow, ever since Zelda Musou, I've been like, when are they going to do Fire Emblem Musou? When are they going to do Fire Emblem Musou? We got word in a beautiful little teaser trailer. It seemed more of like a proof of concept than anything. Like, there wasn't like, you know, a gameplay focus or anything, but we know that Fire Emblem Musou is coming. Is that something you guys are gonna look into? Start with Rob.
I'm going to be honest. No, I don't get into these games. I'm not super into Fire Emblem like everyone else. I know it's like sacrilege, I know, but it's just, you know, but I think that's okay and probably a good thing for my wallet, especially that I don't need all the games on this list day one. But at the same time, we only saw a teaser trailer. You know, once I see gameplay, I might be like, oh, okay, maybe I changed my mind and I really want that. So we'll see.
Excellent. Yeah, I like Musou games and I love Fire Emblem. So for me, it's a must. Slaggy, what about you?
Well, seeing how well they did with Zelda Musou, or Hyrule Warriors, you know, they managed to make that game run like really well without the choppiness that we're used to from most Musos and stuff. So assuming that, you know, it's similarly polished and as fun as Hyrule Warriors was, and I'm hoping that it's got Daddy Ike swinging a big sword around, I'm there.
Hashtag the thirst.
Maybe they can have a dating mini game too. It is Fire Emblem.
Right. It'll be weird if it doesn't. We also got Dragon Quest 10, 11, and Heroes 1 and 2. Of course, the implication is that 10 and 11 individual titles, Heroes 1 and 2 is one title. For me, of course, these are all buys, assuming Dragon Quest 10 comes to North America. I kind of doubt it, but fingers crossed. Obviously, I'm excited about this stuff. Rob, what about you?
Okay, so I don't think we mentioned it yet. Region free. Hello. Hooray. This is great.
Oh, that should have been the first thing I talked about. I'm unbelievably excited.
That's okay.
You can get that Nobunaga's Ambition game.
Here's a great example of why we need region free is because even if they do release Dragon Quest X only in Japan, YOLO, I'm going to get it anyway. They did say that there might be some exceptions to that, and perhaps because Dragon Quest X is online, I feel like if any title's going to get the lock on the region thing, it's going to be Dragon Quest X. Just the phrasing they'd use and all that stuff, I just feel like it could. But anyway, I just want to throw that out there. But otherwise, I'm with you. I wish they would. I wish a bitch would release Dragon Quest X in the U.S. Like, make it happen. But I'm not going to hold my breath. I think Dragon Quest XI will eventually. Dragon Quest Heroes, you know, I already talked about Musou games. But I actually did like Dragon Quest Heroes on PS4. Like, if there's any game I'm going to get, I'm into that, except for the fact that I did already get Dragon Quest Heroes on PS4. So, you know, we'll see.
And something I do want to note, you know, I know that Nintendo had noted that, you know, developers will have the option to region lock. My understanding is that technically that function does exist on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and it just no publishers really utilize it.
It'd be bad business.
It's not going to be a pretty day on Twitter for that company, but I would expect, you know that OLR was born of talk of DDR and stuff. I would assume those types of games that have a lot of licenses with music and etc., those are the types of things you're going to see region locked, is what my gut would tell me.
You know, I'll be interested in seeing that, but I'll actually be a test subject for that. They have already announced a Taiko no Tetsujin game for the Switch in Japan, another one that I was sure was coming, and I'll be in Japan when it comes out, so I'll probably try to buy
that launch
and play
window?
It. Yeah, it was on the Japanese site for launch window stuff.
Oh, that's exciting. Or you might just come home with a Japanese Switch if it's not. Well,
if it doesn't work, that's probably what'll happen. Sagi, a second verse, same as the first. What do you think of Dragon Quest?
You know, I did not get around to Dragon Quest Heroes 1 or 2 on the PlayStation consoles. So I will probably pick this up, especially this is Dragon Quest 1 and 2 is a launch title, as far as we know?
That is my understanding.
So, I mean, that's definitely, if I have the budget for it, one that I'll pick up early. You know, I'm glad to see Square Enix supporting the Switch. You know, I'm really excited for, you know, I know we're all hoping for Dragon Quest X, but I'm excited about Dragon Quest XI and seeing how it's different from the PS4 version and the 3DS version. Because, you know, we know that all three of them are going to kind of have some differences. So I'm going to be interested to see more about that.
All right. We, of course, got a brief tease for a Shin Megami Tensei project. Very little in regard to actual content, though. Do either of you have strong feelings about that?
No.
I mean, I thought the trailer looked really hype, and I was like, yo, when I saw Jack Frost. But, you know, I'm always here for Atlas. I'm so glad that Atlas is supporting the Switch. But again, there wasn't really much to go off of. I typically, obviously, prefer Persona over regular Shin Megami Tensei, but, you know, I'm definitely going to give it a chance and, or at least, you know, keep my eye on it. Keep it on my radar.
All right. We also saw a focus look at Square Enix's upcoming Project Octopath Traveler. This one is developed by the Bravely Default folks. The backgrounds sort of really made that very obvious. But a lot of the in-game actual like character models and stuff are sprite based, which I think creates like a really interesting visual look. It appears to play in a style similar to 16-bit JRPGs. I'm really hyped for this project. I think it's gonna be great, but it's obviously a little soon to say that. Rob, what did you think of Octopath?
It's a weird name. I don't really care for the name, but I mean, who cares about the name if the game's good? So I was interested in what I saw, and can't wait to see more.
Right? It's kind of like their game Bravely Default. A lot of people are like, what's with that name? But dude, that game is so good.
Yeah, it really is.
Slaggy, what about you? Octopath.
Yeah, I mean, weird name, but as soon as they showed it, I'm like, oh, I love the little pixel art characters, and knowing that it's the same group that worked on Bravely Default, like, I mean, there's nothing but positive ambition for that.
Excellent. We also, of course, got confirmation, not that there was ever any real doubt, that Skyrim will be coming to the Switch. I'll probably buy it. My biggest problem with Skyrim games or Elder Scrolls games in the past has been an inability to focus a lot of time in one place sitting down playing these games that take hundreds of hours. Won't be a problem on the Switch. I will play it on my commute. Slaggy, what about you? Will you pick up Skyrim?
Probably. I mean, I never got around to it. I own it on Steam, but, you know, I just never got around to it, mostly because, you know, as you said, it's something that's such a time investment. But, you know, knowing that I could take this on the go and, you know, like, oh, you're still sleeping, you know, or whatever, if I was over to record a game movie or whatever, I'm like, I'll just play some Skyrim or, you know, whatever. So it'll... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'll pick it up like right away if it's a launch title, but I think I'll probably pick it up.
Excellent, excellent. And Rob, what about you?
I'm mixed on this. You know, I really feel like this idea suffers from what really hurt the Wii U's launch window, and that was launching old games as launch titles. The fact that you can take it portable is an interesting angle, so this will really be the test. How far does that matter? How far is that going to go? So we'll see, but I got to be honest. I'm over Skyrim. It's time for something new. And I really hope Bethesda does not use this as the benchmark for will they release other games on the Switch. It's not fair to use a 7-year-old game to do that.
Absolutely. We also got the potentially huge, but probably not that meaningful to anyone here announcement that EA Sports will be bringing titles over to the Switch, starting with FIFA. This is, of course, going to be a big deal. They've, you know, analysts are always saying that one of the biggest problems with Nintendo consoles is that you can't get FIFA on them. You can't get Madden on them, et cetera, et cetera. Do either of you guys have feelings on FIFA on the Switch? And I'll start with you, Slaggy.
I mean, if it gets more people to buy the Switch and then EA supports the Switch more, I mean, you know, If it's a way for EA to support the Switch more, obviously I'm on board with that.
Excellent, excellent. That's largely how I feel. Rob?
Well, I could care less about the game itself, but what it stands for, the fact that, you know, this is the biggest franchise in the world, you know, even though we don't play it personally, that's a really good sign for the Switch. But EA, I got my eye on you. You burned Nintendo last time, so I got one eye watching you because I don't trust you.
Unprecedented partnership.
Yeah, I don't trust you. There's something fishy about that EA guy.
Well, so this is sort of the last game that I think we'll have a whole lot to say about. And this is, of course, Zelda Breath of the Wild. We got what is probably our deepest look at the game yet, shy of course, being present at a trade show where it's on display. I was really fascinated. The actual voice acting in the game sounded fantastic. The visuals looked amazing. The world actually looks really impressive. I'm typically known for being a bit of a cynic with regard to the Zelda games. They're really not my favorite. I think they're largely overrated. This one still seems like something special. I'm interested in what you guys think. Rob, what about you?
That trailer was hot, and I'm with you. The voice acting thing was huge, like the whole Zelda crying bit. Like, you don't have that in previous Zelda games. So this is definitely, I mean, not just artistically, but everything else, a new direction for the franchise. So I'm definitely willing to give it another try, because I'm kind of with you. Like, the 3D Zelda games, the only one that ever really did it for me was Twilight Princess, and I think that's because all of that was so new at the time. And I realize this is an unpopular opinion, guys, but you know what? I get my opinion too. So, but I'm really excited to visit Zelda again with this. I think it looks really hot.
Slaggy, it sounded like you literally grimaced when he said Twilight Princess.
No, I said, because that's interesting. I mean, for me, you know, probably my favorite 3D Zelda, and I mean, you know, we use the music for it for Game Boy, so Wind Waker. I mean, I get a lot of Wind Waker from this, just the way that like that it looks visually. And I mean, we've talked about Breath of the Wild a lot, you know, especially after E3. But you know, it was a no-brainer that I was going to get this. I already have it pre-ordered, and I mean, I felt like, you know, when they first were showing it, it looked very like Studio Ghibli, and I think even more so. I mean, it just looks so cinematic. I really think this could be Game of the Year contender. It could be the best Zelda game in the franchise so far. I think, you know, there's a lot riding on it. And, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, I almost wonder if, you know, a lot of the reason that they delayed the Switch was because they knew Zelda wasn't going to be ready until now. And we didn't even know it was going to be, if it was going to make launch. It wasn't looking like it. So for me, that was the big, like, oh, they made it happen, you know. And it looks like in Europe, too, because they didn't hear about anything different for Europe. So for me, this is the big thing. And people were like, yeah, Zelda, I have to get it, you know, or like, but then remember, you know, if you're on the fence out there and you're listening, it is coming to Wii U on the same day. So if you're someone who has a beloved Wii U and you're not ready for a Switch, you will still be able to enjoy Breath of the Wild. But that said, I mean, I've already got a pre-order for Switch.
Spoilers for the end of the show.
Speaking of Game of the Year, though, I really hope that I can beat this Zelda game in 2.5 weeks before Mass Effect Andromeda's out. Just saying.
I was surprised that we didn't see Andromeda get an announcement.
You know, I'm not that surprised. I think that EA is clearly testing the waters. Unfortunately, you know, what Rob sort of alluded to, I think FIFA's the test the waters game. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of EA support. I'd be happy to eat my words, but
I wrote a very vile
FIFA do well first.
I wrote a very vile tweet about what I'd be happy to do for EA if they had announced Andromeda, but I knew it wasn't coming. I knew because I don't trust them.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with Mass Effect 3. I mean, we saw Mass Effect 3 not do very well, and then, boop.
Well, and I'm kind of salty about it, and going off on a quick tangent, as much as I'm writing you guys in private messages about hurrying up, but I'm going to be in Japan when Mass Effect Andromeda comes out, and it's coming out literally the day I get to Japan. So it's like, okay, well, by the time I get back, like, the game is going to be almost a half a month old. At that point, I might as well just wait 2 more weeks and get it at half price, because that's how fast games drop in price now.
Well,
so I'm just salty. If it were a Switch game, it would be a day one purchase, because I'd just take it with me, or have it shipped to me or something.
If it's anything like Mass Effect 3 went, we'll all still be playing multiplayer for 6 months. So we'll see though.
Yes.
So I want to now, in all of these super briefly, we did get the confirmation of a No More Heroes sequel. All we really got was like one piece of key art. It was Travis Touchdown looking hella sexy, but I was into it. I assume you both were, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get a super into
I'm the so Suda hyped. I love that game.
I don't get a super into the Suda 51 stuff, but I'm glad it's here.
I can accept that. Of course, we also got the confirmation of Disgaea 5. That's a port that a lot of us have been hoping would be coming to the Switch, since Vita won't be here for, you know, the Disgaea 5 portable series to continue. I'm super stoked about that. Either of you guys plan on picking that one up?
Honestly?
Yeah, I mean, I see. Sorry, go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if I have room amongst all the other stuff coming out in 2017, not just for the Switch, but for other consoles, maybe.
And Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely open to it. I didn't get around to Disgaea 5 yet, and I think that having it, you know, the portable Disgaeas were always a great way to play those games, because, you know, with all of the crazy thousands of levels and such that you can grind, you know, I feel like that would be great, and I would love to see them, you know, bring the other ones to Switch as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We also got a surprise announcement of Ultra Street Fighter 2 coming out of Capcom. This appears to be a new Street Fighter 2 game. It's sprite-based and everything, but with all new content. That's pretty wild. I don't think anyone had clocked that. That, for me, will be a definite day one. Either of you guys as captivated by this concept as I am? Rob?
Yes, actually. I love the good old retro update stuff, so maybe Mega Man will be next. But yeah, I want to know more about this. You know, we still don't have a lot to go on except for Violent Ken, but I'm curious.
And Slacky?
Yeah, I mean, I did not expect this, but, you know, I love Street Fighter 2. You know, it was a classic. I remember, you know, HD Remix being good. Oh, that was Turbo, I think, right? Turbo HD Remix.
Yeah.
I thought that they did a really good job with that. And so I'm really excited to see how they do. And I was, you know, I was expecting Tekken. That was the fighting game I was expecting. I was not expecting Street Fighter, let alone Ultra Street Fighter 2. So... I think it's going to be great.
Excellent. Excellent. We also got the announcement of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe in TV mode. I want to note this game is confirmed to run at 1080p. We know that it's going to have new stages. It's going to have new playable characters, including the Inklings from Splatoon. Really exciting stuff. This is going to be launching in April. For me, this is a must buy. I'm a big fan of Mario Kart 8. So any new content is a must have, especially in this case. They're also finally re-adding the much requested battle mode back to Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So Slag, I'm going to take that you're a buy. What about you, Rob?
For me, I'm really into it, and I love Mario Kart. It's you know, I love the one that was on the Wii U. But again, price. You going to charge me $60 again for this? I don't know. That's a little shady. $40, sure.
I think that's perfectly fair. Although I will say the number of stages that's being floated around is new is 16. That's a lot of new stages.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. We'll see. I guess I sit here and go, well, $60 is going to be too much. And I know damn well I'm going to buy it even if it's $99 because I'm a consumer whore. So whatever.
This next one is one that's super, super exciting. No pun intended. This is the revival of the Hudson Soft, or now Konami IP, Bomberman in Super Bomberman R. And this, it's not a patchy slot. It's a real Bomberman game. And I'm wondering if that R there is a reference to like the Saturn Bomberman, because, you know, that was a big deal at the time because it supported up to 10 players, which was like unheard of in console gaming. I'm wondering if this isn't going to be like 16 player or something ridiculous like that. Either way, I'm a big Bomberman fan. I probably wouldn't be inclined to buy it at $60, but 40 or below, I'm day one. What about you guys? I'll start with you, Slaggy.
I'm just surprised that Konami, like, hopefully it'll play well. If it plays well, then I'll definitely be changing my tune about Konami. I mean, from the streams I've seen of it, it looks very cute. It looks right, but you know, you never know with Konami. It could play like a dud. But it's an exclusive. It's a Switch exclusive, right? It's not far, any on anything
as
else.
As far as we know, it is, and it is confirmed for a March U.S. release.
Ah, that's great.
Rob?
I'm going to be honest. I want to know who made it. If Konami made it, I'm not interested.
Is that because of a lack of faith or because you choose not to support them?
Both.
All right. Understandable. Ooh. And that is a confirmed launch game in Japan. I don't know if it's confirmed launch in North America. All I'm seeing for North America is March. So next up we have Puyo Puyo Tetris. And this comes right on the back. Immediately after the Switch presentation ended, Puyo Puyo Tetris was in the sizzle reel. Sega also made the announcement that Puyo Puyo Tetris is finally coming to North America. So that's like a double win for fans of this. Funny enough, in last week's episode of Game Buoy, we were just talking about Puyo Puyo Tetris. I love this game. This is a must buy for me. I already have an import copy for X1, but it'll be worth it to have it on the go. What about you, Slaggy? I know you're a fan of Puyo Puyo.
Definitely. I love Puyo Puyo. I love Tetris. I love Puyo Puyo Tetris. Yeah, definitely. Day one.
And Rob?
I want to know the price, but I'm highly interested. I always enjoy a good puzzler game, and I actually have not played Puyo Puyo Tetris, but I'm interested.
All right.
You can Puyo Puyo or you can Tetris.
Yeah, right. We also saw three ports of other current gen games, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Rayman Legends Definitive, and Steep. Now, none of these are likely to be purchases for me. I have two of them, and the third I'm not terribly interested in. But I'm curious from you guys, anything you want to pick up of these three, Rob?
No, these are games, Rayman Legends I've already visited, and passing on the other two.
And Slaggy.
I'd be open to Xenoverse 2 for multiplayer stuff. But then again, I mean, you know, that would probably be the only... I mean, I don't know, because I don't have Xenoverse 2 yet, so I'd be willing to pick it up, but maybe more so if other people were going to have it and we could be, like, fighting local multiplayer and stuff.
All right. Well, then I want to wrap this conversation up. I want to briefly talk about the event itself. I know that a lot of people had some issues with it, but I overall came away from the event with a very positive feeling. I'd like to hear from you guys. Rob, what about you?
I was fine with the event. I think they did a lot of what they needed to do. I think, obviously, there's a whole lot more we want to hear, but I suppose that's why the Treehouse thing exists. It was kind of nice to see Nintendo in that E3 situation again, but this was a Japanese-based event, not a US-based event, and so that to me kind of shows a lot of the difference right there. There was going to be a difference between them because it wasn't an E3, you know, US loud bang-up event, but I think it did hit on a lot of the points that we needed to get with the Switch, especially games. That's great. Now, hopefully Treehouse and the internets and all that will get out some of the finer details, especially considering we have, what, 6 weeks to go till this is on shelves? Maybe seven? I didn't get out my calendar, but, I mean, this is a fast turnaround. This is fast.
Yeah, clearly taking a hint from the way that Apple and all that works. What about you, Psyche?
Sorry, just real quick. It's funny you say that, because especially during the whole Ice Cube thing and the HD vibration or whatever, I already forgot what they called it. I was like, this is such an Apple thing to do right now. Like, this is the Apple of Japan right now. But we've, you know, it's not the first time we've thrown those types of words around with Nintendo. Anyway, sorry.
You know, I was a little surprised to not see some of the things like Mario Kart DX announced, and, you know, the kind of up in the airness of the launch library, so to speak, is kind of a little bit suspect as far as, like, the presentation itself. But I mean, the fact that they showed a lot of games, it did feel kind of like an E3 presentation. And I mean, I had the similar sort of excitement that I do when I sit down for these E3 pressers. So, I mean, if we were doing the E3 report card, I mean, I would have given it an A-, you know, I was really happy with it.
Awesome. Well, then the question that I wrap this up on is, what are your thoughts on the console? And do you plan to pre-order, wait, or skip? I'm obviously really excited about this, as I always talk about on the show. You know, for me, this being portable makes it a must-have for me. I have literally already pre-ordered it. I'd like to hear from Rob.
I've also pre-ordered it. That might speak a little more to my sense of the need to buy everything as a gamer than a sense of the need to buy everything because it's the Switch. However, I feel good coming out of this presentation. I think that's because I set the bar low, and I've learned, especially in the past year, in a little game called No Man's Sky, if you set the bar low, you're not going to be as disappointed. So I'm walking out of this feeling pretty good, and I'm excited for March 3rd and to play the new Zelda and whatever else Nintendo suddenly says is going to be out that day. More info on Virtual Console, please, ASAP. I need to know more about this online play and Ice Climbers with Spike and Psychic.
Fair. And what about you, Psyche?
He's going to get it. You know, especially after that event in the fall where we, you know, got the confirmation that everything that we had thought up to that point was true. I mean, so for me, I mean, I had already made up my mind. I mean, there was really nothing that was going to, I mean, unless it, like, a $500 price tag or something, like, just ridiculous. But I already pre-ordered mine too. I was very anxious about the pre-orders. As you remember, I'm messaging you all week, like, how do you think the pre-orders are going to go? What if I don't get one? So I have one pre-ordered. I got one pre-ordered with the neon Joy-Cons. So, and I was like, oh, because they were both available on BestBuy.com. I'm like, oh, which one do I get? So I went for the neon Joy-Cons. I feel so good having that pre-order locked in, knowing that we're going to be able to bring you lots of great Switch content on Gamebuie, and I'm just, like, so excited. Like, I mean, it's weird to have a console launch at this time of year, but I'm so excited for it, and, you know, now it's just a matter of, like, waiting for second Christmas, Switchmas.
Excellent. All right. Well, I know that you had posted a Social Links question of the day. Did we get any responses to that?
Yeah, we got some from Your Enzyme, so I'll just rattle through those really quick. So Your Enzyme kind of seems not too impressed, so I'm just going to rattle through all of these as kind of one long chain of tweets. Nintendo still has no idea how to announce hardware. How many gimmicks can we put into a game? I don't know, but I'm sure 1-2-Switch will tell us. Let me know when ARMS is done, yawn. Alrighty, let's squid it up. Did Mario go full Sonic Adventure? Did they just announce Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the Switch? These developers saying, we're going to make something. I love you, Suda51, but dear God, I don't think either of you got a bingo. Cynic time. Zelda, the only game they showed that I'm interested in. Also, 2.5 to 6 hour battery. Are you kidding me? If they'd just shown off Zelda, I'd given the event 8 out of 10. But with everything else, it was a solid 6 out of 10 for me. So, you know, and I know I was talking with your enzyme over on my personal Twitter about not really having been a huge fan of the past couple Nintendo consoles. So I think that's understandable. We definitely do have a bias here. As much as we try to be, you know, open-minded about everything, we love our Nintendo. So, you know, we do have that bias here. But thank you.
I like the way that they put game design first. And especially in this case, again, I spend multiple hours a day on a train. Having a portable is way more important than having pretty graphics or anything.
And I just
like
got to say, I'm excited to hear, I'm excited for you to see what it's like in Japan, because, I mean, this seems just made for the Japanese market, like, to be a huge success. So,
yeah, I'm a little bummed I won't be there for the launch itself.
Launch, yeah.
I'm glad I'll be there for still launch window.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I be a little honest here? The tweet about the fact that if they hadn't shown more than just Zelda, it would have been an 8, but the score got lowered because there was more than Zelda. That's a little weird to me. I'm sorry. The fact that they showed more than just Zelda, I think, is good. And I it makes it sound like you got some extra baggage, my friend, coming into this.
Aww.
Just some honest feedback.
That's a read.
Honest feedback. I'm sorry.
Just maybe burnt by Nintendo too many times. It's understandable.
Hey, Xenoblade 2, Octopath, Disgaea, Street Fighter 2. For me, there was a lot there.
I still...
You know, and I've got to say, before we wrap this up, I would say it was probably a 60%, 40% mix of unsatisfaction with hype on my personal Twitter feed. A lot of people really were not happy about this. So it'll be interesting to see kind of if that changes over the weekend, you know, once we've seen the treehouse and more news trickle out. So we'll see if people's perspectives change for our upcoming episode, and for by the time you do LR on the weekend, Rob, I'll be interested to hear what the folks say over on Vogue Network.
Same, especially one of our harshest Nintendo critics on my show. But
ironically, we just got a follow on the Game Buoy Twitter from Loki LR, so thanks for the follow, Loki.
Even though he's probably very disappointed there's no Excitrek 2. But I just wanted to say two other quick important follow-up things. A, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Yay! And B, just, you know, I think a little bit of healthy cynicism is okay with Nintendo. There are still some things, you know, like especially the hardware shortage issue. You know, I also have that pre-order with Best Buy. I'm panicked it's going to get canceled because I don't trust that Nintendo's going to be able to make enough of these. I hope I'm proved wrong for once on this, but there are some things that I remain cynical about, and the hardware issue is a big one, even though we didn't really get into it tonight because, you know, it's about hype and so forth. And probably the fact that we all got to pre-order one on Best Buy helps, but I hope we're not back here next week going, boo-hoo, our pre-orders got canceled because that wasn't actually supposed to go live. And it turns out every Best Buy store is only getting two Switches. You know, please, Nintendo, yeah, fix that crap.
Well, and I do think it's worth noting, Kimishima had actually noted a couple of months ago that if demand was high, they did have a pipeline in place to get more units produced quickly. So I guess I just don't share that cynicism. I think that what we recently saw with the NES Mini that I think is really stuck in people's minds right now is just a really egregious oversight, is more in tune with the fact that store like retail orders, as far as I understand, were relatively low because these micro consoles are typically not that successful.
I would go for that if it was an isolated incident, but it's not with Nintendo, and with only 7 weeks to go until the console launches, like how are they going to be able to measure demand that fast? Like I still have concerns.
I will agree there, but you know, the fact that at least they seem aware of it, Kimishima is addressing it directly, I guess I remain optimistic.
Fair enough, and I would love nothing more than to be proved wrong and that there's Switches for everybody. Yay.
All right, we have come to terms. All right, well, let's wrap this up. Slag, you want to tell people where they can hear us?
Yeah, so thank you for your feedback. As everyone always, we like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter. You can subscribe, rate, and review to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. And you can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org. And our home base is gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
Though you can hear us somewhere else. Where is that, Rob?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because we love having gamebuoy.org as a part of the Voice of Geeks Network, available at vognetwork.com. There's other shows about video games there, like Orange Lounge Radio, The Bobby Blackwolf Show, Electric Sisterhood, and more. But there's also shows that you can interact with on other topics. You want to talk about anime? You want to talk about movies? You want to talk about British television? We got it. Vognetwork.com.
All right. Well, with all of this having been said, we will be following this up with another episode this weekend. Slaggy and I will be doing our normal shout-outs then, but we have literally already gone like 4 times longer than we meant to tonight, so we're just going to cut this one off here.
Well, I just have to say really quick, though, if you want to hear about anime, Anime Boo's coming back. Yay!
There was no need for that. Rob, thank you
so much. Well, Rob was like, you want to hear about anime?
Rob, thank you so much for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. And, of course, everyone out there in Internet Radio Land, I highly recommend you check out Orange Lounge Radio. We literally would not be a show here if not for them. We are totally inspired by what they do. It's really a fantastic show.
I'm blushing. I'm so proud of you guys. You guys have such an amazing show here. And thank you so much for letting me be a part of it tonight. And Slidekick, the only reason I didn't mention Anime Buoy is because I assume your listeners already know about it, but they might not know about the other ones.
No, I know.
Which is appropriate.
I'm just being my snarky self.
Slaggy, who does our music? That's an important shout out we can't skip.
So our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the late great project that aims to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. They've closed their doors quite a while back, unfortunately, but we'll forever be pouring a 40 out into the great fairy fountain. It's just a shame. I would have loved to hear them reorchestrate Breath of the Wild stuff, but I guess it doesn't need it because it's already like orchestrated, you know?
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us tonight. I hope you have had half as much fun listening as we have had talking to you. We will be right back at you in just a few days, so don't you fret. But until then, keep gaming, keep thinking, and see you, Space Cowboy.
I love how we said this was going to be a 3-minute episode. Sorry.
Yeah, your ass.
Okay, now I need to switch and go to bed. Are you guys still with me?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Apparently, my push-to-talk is not functioning correctly right now. Oops. Okay. This will be a good blooper. Picking it right back up, though.